got the thumbs up.
You got the double thumbs up.
Hello.
Hello.
I was just getting a lecture about needing to have a cheery attitude during our testing.
Yeah, you always sound so down.
I'm so sorry. Does this cheer you up?
Oh! How dare you! She just water gunned me with the cat water gun. I can't believe you just blasted me. There's electronic equipment everywhere.
You, sir, shot me with a water gun first a couple weeks ago. Up here, same positioning. As they say, you had it coming.
He had it coming. He had it coming. He only had himself to blame.
Love when that opportunity presents itself.
You have no important electronic equipment around you. I have a laptop right here.
I have a computer in front of me. What are you talking about?
This keyboard is $25.
I thought you were going to say you have no aim.
You have perfect aim. You blasted me.
And that was left-handed, too.
Oh, very nice shot.
Thanks.
That's why I say, hey, man, nice shot. Good shot, man.
What's that?
Hey, man, nice gun. Hey, man, nice.
Is that hair metal?
Hey, man, nice shot. No.
What is it? You don't even know. You have to look it up. So don't give me shit.
It's one of those bands.
Oh.
From the 90s.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think it's like Blur or something like that. Let's see. You know what I'm talking about. Filter.
Filter.
I figured it would be semi-familiar.
Sorry that I didn't know it offhand.
Well, listen, you've let yourself down. And the audience.
Do I get my 90s card pulled?
Pulled! 80s card is still in play, but we'll put that to the test.
That's not good. I'm more confident in my 90s knowledge. I was older then. That's closer to now. Anyway, we are back with some My So-Called Life fun.
Yes.
Before we get into it, though, I have a My So-Called Life related email that we received from Meredith.
Okay.
Hi, Stacey and Pete. I just listened to your podcast episode 12 of My So-Called Life. So this was a while ago.
Yeah.
When you guys were talking about how Jordan must smell like beef and cheese.
Yes.
That was Pete saying that, by the way. Although I can't disagree, really.
Or like a 70s car that's been smoked in a lot.
Right. She says, I immediately thought, oh, he probably has that, quote, slightly goat-like smell, which all teenage boys possess, which is a line from a song that came out in the 90s, The Sweater by Maren Cadell, which is even funnier than I remember. And she shared the YouTube video, and it is hilarious. And I totally missed it. There's another song I missed from the 90s. She said, I first heard the song on the local alternative rock station where I grew up. The song came out in 1992, so I was about 14 or 15 at the time and definitely not cool enough to discover a song like this on my own. Me neither. I really miss the weirdness of the 90s, and that is so true. The 90s had a lot. The 90s was very experimental, I feel.
Right. And experimental things could like make it really big.
Yeah. I feel like people were just really open to new things.
Yeah.
Like there was a big 70s revival in the 90s, but the 90s also definitely had its own thing, like with grunge and then, you know, a lot of other different things that was totally opposite of the 80s.
Right.
She says, I can't imagine anyone releasing a song like this now. A spoken word poem about a teenage girl borrowing her crush's sweater over music that sounds like the opening to a zany 60s sitcom. Ah, what a time. I feel like we should play a little bit of it now.
Yes.
The sweater has that slightly goat-like smell which all teenage boys possess. And that smell will lovingly transfer to all your other clothes. If you get to keep it for a few days, you can sleep with it, but don't let your mom see because she'll say, what is that filthy thing and who does it belong besides the trash man?
Well.
That's good stuff.
That is good stuff. That is definitely experimental.
Yes. So Meredith continues the email. Anyway, I love the podcast and so happy to have found people who are as obsessed with My So-Called Life as I am.
Well, thank you, Meredith.
Yes, thank you. We're happy that you found us, too.
And we're happy for the share.
Yeah.
Good share.
You opened my mind up to something I had never heard before. I love that.
I never really thought about boys smelling like goats. I think it's that outside smell. They've been running around and roughhousing.
Could be. Or just like not bathing often. And
that as well.
I get it, though. That's why it was always so great when a boy smelled good. But you would like let things slide if you really liked someone.
Yes. Not exclusive to boys.
I'm sure. Are you talking about me?
No. You always smell fantastic.
Thanks.
Though you did just squirt me with a squirt gun right next to my laptop.
Don't make me do it again. I will.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So before we get to the episode, it is time for another show and tell.
This week we have Kelly Miller.
She was born in March 1985.
Favorite 80s movie, Troop Beverly Hills.
Such a good one.
Yes.
Favorite 80s song, Hangin' Tough by New Kids on the Block.
One of your faves?
One of my fave groups, yeah.
Yeah, not the song, though.
I mean, from New Kids, probably not my favorite.
Not your jam?
But I do appreciate it, for sure.
Favorite 90s movie, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Another great one. Favorite 90s song, Hey Jealousy by Gem Blossoms, and The Sign by Ace of Base.
Very good songs. Favorite 80s or 90s TV shows, Full House and Saved by the Bell.
Toy that you loved most as a child, Barbies, Light Bright, and my first Sony, which was a red tape recorder.
Favorite game or book that you loved as a child or teenager, made up games with neighborhood friends. Those were always so much fun. Babysitter's Club and Goosebumps.
There was something to making up games with your friends.
Imaginative play.
Yes. Favorite place to go to the mall in the 80s, 90s, or early 2000s, Claire's and Sam Goody. And of course, we always allow for, you know, anything extra that our show and tell participants would like to add. And Kelly says, I remember getting lots of New Kids on the Block merch at garage sales in the early 90s as older girls were aging out of it. And I was just getting started. That's smart.
Yeah.
Sheets, framed posters, keychains, and those huge buttons. I still have my huge buttons.
Do you?
Yeah. By the way, I bet a lot of those older girls who had aged out of it are now sad that they got rid of them in a garage sale.
Yeah.
And maybe their parents got rid of it without their knowledge, like mine got rid of my New Kids on the Block sleeping bag.
I was going to say, it definitely happens.
I was so upset.
Yeah.
Kelly also remembers rushing home to turn on TRL and voting online, using her name along with names and fake email addresses for all my relatives, plus my crushes and their entire family. This is so funny. She's a good bit younger than me, so I didn't go that far to vote. But I still cared, like at 19, I still cared about whether NSYNC or Backstreet was going to win number one that day. And I watched every day
to see
who won. Yes. And then there was like a long spell where Korn was beating everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Freak on a Leash.
97, 98-ish, I think.
That would have been later because I wasn't an NSYNC fan till 99, really.
Oh, 98 is when Freak on a Leash came out.
Yeah. I wasn't caring about NSYNC in 98, but maybe the video came out later.
Could be.
She also said meeting Josh Server from All That at the All That Music and More Festival and him being genuinely touched when my mom told him he reminded her of Jim Carrey. She also sent a photo, so I'll have to share that soon on our Instagram.
Yes.
And lastly, in 2000, I got to meet Hanson at the last stop of the This Time Around tour in Oklahoma. That is their home state, and I'm from California. There was a huge storm, and the computers managing the tickets at the venue went out, leading to lots of upset girls missing the beginning of the show.
Oh no, riot.
That is tragic.
Yes.
Hanson's mom came out and told the staff not to worry about the tickets. She put her arms around my friend and me and led us into the show.
Wow.
We thought we were having a special moment with our future mother-in-law. I would be the same way. I love it. Later, my friends and our parents were waiting around outside the show, and someone from Hanson's team asked us if we were the ones with the We're From Cali sign they saw earlier because they wanted to meet us for coming so far. Apparently, they hadn't noticed the girl from England. We were walked back into the venue, and all three Hanson brothers were standing there waiting to meet us.
Oh my goodness.
I was speechless and don't remember saying a single word. They were very nice and took photos with us. Not the best photos due to us waiting outside in the rain all day, jumping around during the concert and being totally overwhelmed by what was happening.
She probably smelled like a goat.
No, the handsome boys. The handsome boys smelled like goats because they just came off stage performing.
Maybe they all smelled like goats.
That's right, so nobody noticed. Back to the message. But I had met my idols and got evidence to prove it. This was the first of several meetings with much better pictures, but the first time was definitely the most epic. I have a lot more Hanson stories in case you ever do an episode on Hanson Mania. She also sent a picture of this, so look out for that. What a great story. That's like something that everyone that is a huge fan of something dreams of happening.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, thank you, Kelly. This was a great show and tell.
It's fantastic. And maybe we will cover Hanson Mania because it's something I don't know anything about. And sometimes it's fun to cover that kind of thing.
That's true. It's kind of like a learning process. The more you know.
The more you know. I could do it instead of my Alice in Chains special on Patreon. That's, kidding!
That's really blasphemy, actually, considering you're an Alice in Chains fan.
Yes, that was what we call a joke.
Oh, okay.
In the industry. Oh my gosh, she squirted me again! How dare you!
In the industry, we squirt people with water guns when they're snarky to their wives.
Yeah, well, listen. If it's one thing I know how to do, it's escalate. So, true to the 80s, I'm going to find an original super soaker.
I know you will.
And I am going to get you.
I don't know why I'm doing this, because I know it will come back tenfold. Just let me enjoy the moment.
Cannot believe you did.
Did I get it on any of your precious electronics?
No, this one fully absorbed into my shirt, so good shot.
I aimed at Skeletor's face.
You did. You hit a little high.
Oh, I didn't really. I was just trying to be funny.
Oh,
tell
you're
people
so funny.
What you were wearing.
Very funny. Oh, yes. Yes, my Skeletor t-shirt. My favorite t-shirt.
I got that for you, right? Or is that the one you got for yourself?
This is the one I got.
Okay, we don't care
the
about
new
that
one way. Is my second favorite Skeletor t-shirt.
Oh, okay. Well, if that one goes missing, you'll know why. I'm on one. Okay. Thank you, Kelly. You may return to your seat.
Gold star.
All the gold stars. If you would like to participate in our show and tell, you can email us at wedontwantagrowuppod@gmail.com and ask for a questionnaire.
If you'd like to connect with us on social media, we're on Instagram at wedontwantagrowuppod.
We're on TikTok at wedontwantagrowup.
Come check us out on Facebook at We Don't Want to Grow Up Podcast.
We also have a Facebook group called The Cozy Club-Fans of We Don't Want to Grow Up.
Now, if you'd like to help support the podcast, and we know you do, and gain access to over 60 bonus episodes, you can go to patreon.com/WeDon'tWantToGrowUp.
And if you're interested in We Don't Want to Grow Up merch, you can go to
we-don't-wanna-grow-up.myspreadshop.com.
All right, it's that time.
It's episode 16 of my so-called life, Resolutions.
This episode aired January 5th, 1995. We are a little late for a New Year's episode, but as you know, and as Ross says,
we were on a break!
Yes! Quick summary on this one. It's a new year, and everybody's making resolutions. Ricky finds himself homeless once again, and Brian starts tutoring Jordan.
So there's no new cast in this episode that we haven't met, but we do see Winnie Holtzman, the creator, again, as a guidance counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out.
Shout out.
And we're just jumping right into favorite moments, I guess.
Favorite moments.
So I feel like this time, just because of the content here, we need to start with our top three and end with honorable mentions, just for this, not just this once, because this may come up again, but this time, I think that's what we need to do.
Okay, so my favorite moment, the exchange between Jordan and Brian after Jordan finds out he's going to be tutored, and he can't actually read Brian's name. He calls him Brain, and Brian is actually behind Angela and Jordan.
Are you Brain? Brian.
But I love before that, because Jordan and Angela are looking at the list to see who he's paired with. And he goes, Brain Krakow? Which we shouldn't make fun of him because he can't read. But you know they did that because it was funny.
Yes, it was.
So for me, my first one, there is a shot towards the beginning of the episode where we are above Jordan's car. Red. We're looking down. The top is down. Angela is sitting in the back seat doing Jordan's homework, which she has resolved not to do, and she is doing it. While Jordan is laying on the trunk, smoking a cigarette, Angela says,
"The thing about resolutions is it's hard to remember them around somebody like Jordan Catalano."
What I love about this, though, is that Jordan realizes that it's wrong for Angela to be doing his homework.
Yeah.
This is wrong.
What?
You. Doing my homework. It's wrong.
Well, I was just trying to help.
It's like I'm taking advantage of you or something.
You're not taking advantage of me.
Yeah, I am.
And really only because she's not his girlfriend. She's just a friend.
Yeah, at first I thought it was because he's like, I need to be learning this.
Right.
No, it's just because she's not technically his girlfriend anymore.
But he did say, like, it's like I'm taking advantage of you.
Right.
You know, I just like this because, again, we're seeing him have some slight emotional intelligence here and some morals, a few of them.
A little depth to Jordan.
A little bit. We saw it a little on the last episode when he was helping Ricky out.
Yes.
Anyway, so then Jordan grabs his books and he leaves. And Angela says, I couldn't believe it. For the first time in my life, I actually stuck to a resolution.
Yeah. Oh, Angela, good job. Saw it right through. Speaking of resolutions, my second favorite moment is very early on in the episode. We get everybody thinking about their resolutions.
What I was thinking is like a New Year's resolution is to stop getting so caught up in my own thoughts. Because I'm like way too introspective, I think.
I resolve to never again have sex with Kyle or anyone again unless I really love and respect them.
Spend more time with the dog. And Sharon.
Give up coffee. There, that's an easy one.
I resolve to stop obsessing over Angela Chase.
To badger mom into letting me wear makeup.
To find someplace where I, like, really belong.
But what if not thinking turns me into this really shallow person? I'd better rethink this becoming less introspective thing.
To stop drinking. But this time, like, really stop.
I resolve to be less judgmental, less critical, to lighten up, and above all, to be more supportive and less suspicious. No matter how much it sometimes seems like he's hiding something.
To tell Hallie Lowenthal once and for all that I'm not going into the restaurant business with her. And to stop all those long talks with her after class.
And then we get to Jordan, who is in his car.
He hears, like, honking and everything going on.
And then he thinks this.
Wait a second. Isn't tonight New Year's Eve?
Which is so very Jordan.
Yes, totally oblivious.
Very oblivious.
What day it is. This actually leads into my next favorite moment is at the end of this, after the clock strikes midnight, both Rayanne and Ricky lean in and kiss Angela on her cheeks because they're sitting on the couch watching Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
It's just a sweet moment. And it is. I always felt like I wanted friends like that, that I was that close to. And I mean, I had good friends, but I don't know if I had kiss you on the cheek friends.
Yeah, I didn't have any kiss you on the cheek friends.
But I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I long for, like, nurturing people in my life.
Well, a lot of the girls that I knew would kiss me on the cheek.
Well, that's different. I kiss you on your cheeks.
That's right.
All four of them.
How dare you?
I'm kidding. I was talking about your butt cheeks.
I know.
Okay.
I was upset because you told people our secret.
Daily cheek kisses.
All right. And number three on my list, Jordan is with Krakow, who is now his tutor. Jordan has been giving Krakow some advice about girls and then shows him how easy it is to get this girl's number.
I don't believe this. I don't. You, like, do this? This is, like, how you live?
Yeah.
He's just so impressed with Jordan's skills.
Now, I have to add this here, a little fun fact. So Devin Gummersall, who plays Brian Krakow, actually recently followed me on Instagram, which is wild.
Yes.
He doesn't talk about my so-called life much. Like, he doesn't post a lot on social media anyway. But he shared this clip and then shared that this scene is actually based on a true story that Devin told creator Winnie Holtzman. He said, quote, "In real life, it happened at a coffee place on Melrose. Jared got two girls to give me their numbers at the same time. Two slips of paper, two big smiles. I never called either one of them because I was too nervous. God bless him for trying, and kudos to Winnie for putting it in the show." I love that so much.
That's amazing.
I know. And I have to add that someone commented, I was reading comments. They said, "We need more deets, LOL. You and Jared Leto need to do an Instagram live." And Devin responded, "He lives underground. I don't think there's Wi-Fi." Which cracked me up. We've all heard, like, you know, rumors about Jared. And obviously, you know, Jared's very out in the world with 30 Seconds to Mars. But, right. You know, I guess part of it is true.
Yeah.
But I loved that little tidbit. And he always, if I ever tag Devin in anything, he always says, like, "Thanks for sharing."
Or, oh, does he? You
know, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. I was glad that he shared that before we got to this episode.
Yeah, because that's a nice little story.
I know. And I can see it. I remember seeing pictures of the two of them together, like out as themselves.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, that's just not a pair you would expect.
No.
To be out together.
Right.
But at the same time, I mean, they're actors.
Yeah.
So, you know, but also there are lots of unlikely pairs in friendships and relationships that you wouldn't expect.
Right.
As Paula Abdul says, opposites attract. All right. Next up for me, it's both a least favorite and a favorite moment. It's when Ricky finally goes to Mr. Katimsky's apartment at the end of the episode. And he says,
"It just got so hard to be alone."
I, of course, was sobbing. I cannot take a sad Ricky. But I was glad that Ricky, you know, felt comfortable enough to go to him and he could sense that, you know, he genuinely cared. Of course, we had seen that Mr. Katimsky was torn over what to do about that. Like, he wanted to take him in and he was opening up to his partner about the fact that he could get fired if people found out. But he certainly wasn't going to turn Ricky away when he showed up.
No, he was not.
That's a storyline. I think we actually talked about this when we first covered My So-Called Life, like as a whole, back when we first started the podcast. And we'll talk more about where we think the show would have gone when we're done. We only have a few episodes left.
I know.
But that in particular is a storyline that I feel like we would have seen a lot more of.
Right. I totally agree. All right. So HMs.
Yeah.
All right. My first HM, Jordan telling Angela this.
"You could have sex with me, though. If you really want to help."
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
"I guess that's a no."
"I'll let you get back to your work."
Jordan coming right out with it.
I love that scene. She is so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And he is so amused because she's like falling all over herself trying to get out of the classroom then.
Right.
Because she wasn't even supposed to be there, which I feel like is a very 90s thing. You know, a very old school thing of kids being able to just wander in and out of classrooms.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it's a lot more strict nowadays.
I mean, we couldn't just wander in where we wanted to in the 90s. We'd be told to go back to your class.
That is true. But there were circumstances where, like, our art teacher was also, like, she taught photography and, like, her photography students would come in and out and hang out in there because she was, like, the cool teacher.
Okay.
In middle school, we used to get out of class to go work on the quote-unquote yearbook and we would just, like, hang out in the dark room and eat snacks. Like, I don't know if they get away with doing that kind of stuff now.
I don't know.
But anyway, that is a really cute moment because then he's just like, I guess not, you know, but he's just cracking up. He's actually really, like, he's really cute in this episode. Like, I feel like you're seeing more of his personality come out.
It is a good Jordan episode.
It is. All right. Honorable mention for me. Sharon stressing over the fact that she's using Kyle for umming.
Umming.
So there's a scene where Sharon and Rayanne are working out together in gym class and they're chatting about Kyle. And we're reminded that the two of them had actually broken up officially.
Mm-hmm.
But he called Sharon on New Year's Eve and she was watching A River Runs Through It.
I mean, we don't like have to be in love to have a good time.
Yeah, but let's say he loved you while you were just like using him for, you know, because you were watching this movie.
What movie?
This Brad Pitt movie.
Say no more.
Sharon has a thing for Brad Pitt.
Yeah, she does.
Which I definitely relate to. I used to rent every Brad Pitt movie that I could get my hands on, even the really boring movie about fishing.
Is this that really dull movie with all the fishing?
And I'm sure there are other examples of this, but at least in my experience, I didn't often see things from this perspective, especially back then, where A, girls liked umming, if you know what I mean, and they talked openly about it, but it wasn't portrayed like in a negative way, really. Like there wasn't a lot of like slut shaming going on.
Right.
That was rare. Like normally it was that way.
Yeah.
And B, that she was the one who was using him and wasn't really into him, whereas he was the one being romantic and professing his love and telling her that it meant something to him when they ummed. She tells Rayanne that she had a much better time when she was basically thinking of Brad Pitt than when she was in the committed relationship with Kyle.
Right.
She says that she's going to talk to Kyle and she vows to never again until she knows that she's in love. And Rayanne says,
I just hope Brad Pitt's available and in the tri-state area.
And then later, Sharon is finally trying to tell Kyle how she's feeling. And Kyle tells her that he rented this video and he's describing Thelma and Louise.
Yes.
Listen, I rented this video and I thought maybe we could hang at your place tonight, like watch it.
Kyle, there's something that I have to explain.
It's that movie where these two like housewives are like on the run in this convertible. They're babes, but they're like really old babes.
Kyle, look.
Who else is in it? You know, that guy.
Brad Pitt?
Yeah. Yeah, he's hitchhiking and they pick him up. He's like wearing a cowboy hat, like no shirt. And next thing you know, bam, Brad Pitt and that wacky babe were like going at it in this cheap hotel, like all night long. What did you want to explain?
Nothing. How about 7:30?
I mean, she can't resist a good Brad Pitt movie. And that scene, well, I can't blame her.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen Thelma and Louise?
I have not.
Oh, wow. Well, that scene might fit perfectly in our ideas for our Patreon After Dark.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. So we'll save it for that.
All right. All right. Next up. I don't know why I didn't have this as my very top favorite moment, but Mr. Katimsky yelling at Graham and Patty about letting Ricky leave when they were taking care of him. Finally, somebody calls those two dopes out.
Well, listen. They thought Ricky had left. Ricky went back into the house and overheard them. They didn't like make him leave, but they didn't question
him. They did no research.
Yeah.
On whether or not what he said was true.
Yeah.
You couldn't look around a little bit to see like, oh, did Ricky leave?
Right.
Since we're about to talk about him again.
I know. They didn't learn their lesson.
Oh, they make me so mad.
Pete was yelling at the TV.
Yeah. All right. My final HM, Jordan, getting on to Brian because they need to get some work done in this tutoring class, because Brian just cannot stop going on and on about how Jordan got that girl's number. He's just absolutely flabbergasted. And Jordan's like, could we get to work, please? I need to learn.
I love their interactions, though, because they are both just cracking up. And it's fun to see, like, you never see that again. Brian hated Jordan Catalano.
Yeah.
Up to this point, mostly just because he was jealous. Obviously, Jordan didn't even know his name until now.
You didn't even exist to me. What movie is that from?
Oh, The Craft?
That's correct.
Yes. I can feel it in me. Sorry. All I can think of is Brain Krakow.
Old Brain.
Brain Krakow?
All right. Least favorite moments. Now, I already said one of mine, which is just a sad Ricky.
A sad Ricky is never a good time.
No. That one goes without saying, but this probably goes without saying as well. Hallie Lowenthal.
No, thank you.
Patty's got no time for her. Like, she's on to her. She's on to Graham. Like, she is very suspicious about this whole thing.
Rightfully so. Every time she comes home, Graham is on the phone with Hallie, laughing and yucking it up and just, ugh, so annoying. I'm so sick of Hallie Lowenthal.
Yeah. Patty and Graham tell each other their New Year's resolutions.
Hey, you know, you never told me what your New Year's resolution was.
Exercise more.
Mine too.
When really, because we could hear their inner monologues, hers was to stop being so suspicious of him, and his was to stop staying out late after class talking to Hallie. So they're lying to each other.
They are.
It's not a good sign.
It is not a good sign about where this was going to go.
Nope.
I did have two least favorite moments, and my second one was how much Graham talks to Hallie Lowenthal. It's an annoying.
It is an annoying.
My least favorite moment, once again, Ricky overhearing Patty and Graham talking about him and how he can't stay there forever. They have no situational awareness like we just talked about, and I am just over them in this episode.
I know. But I think they genuinely do care for him. Like, you see them, like, bragging about him at the beginning of the episode because he's so helpful around the house. And
yeah.
Graham even says, like, too bad he wasn't around when the kids were more impressionable,
yeah.
You know, but yeah, they messed up. All right. Signs of the time. It was the 90s. Patty wrote 94 on a check and had to tear it up because it's 95 now. I feel like that is very of the time.
Yes. Writing checks, which I'm sure some people do, but it was a lot more common then.
Yes.
And you don't want to mess up my graduation year. Got to get it on there correctly.
True, true. How dare she?
How dare she?
Don't disparage 1995.
Sorry, it's not 94.
But I remember doing that. I mean, of course, later, probably when I was an adult, like I didn't get a checking account until 98.
Yeah.
But I remember writing the wrong date after the new year. I remember being in school and writing the wrong date and having to either get a new piece of paper or erase it.
I had a savings account that I could write checks out of for a very long time.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that since I was like 10.
Oh, wow. I found a box of checks the other day.
Did you?
Yeah. My shelf fell down in the closet.
Yes, it did.
And a box that was up there fell and rolled and actually landed right side up. It just had like a lid that popped open. And yeah, right there, there was a box of checks.
Kind of like a scene out of a movie where you're supposed to find something.
Yeah. I mean, the last time that I wrote a check was probably before I moved here because we still had to pay our rent with checks.
The last one I wrote was for our exterminator service, and I switched services because I was sick of writing checks.
Yep. You're like, get with the program. I want to say, too, when I moved here, that was 2014.
So yeah, a decade ago.
Oh, my. What?
A decade.
It literally seems like it's been like 3 years.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Time's going so fast.
It is.
Make it stop.
Slow it down.
Make it slow down. Okay, next up, there's a moment where Danielle can't find her green sweater and Ricky says it's under the coffee table next to the stack of magazines. And Graham says, there's a stack of magazines? And Ricky says, there is now. And that's because Ricky is organizing and cleaning their home.
Yes.
But obviously, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that most households now don't have stacks of magazines.
You think so?
Unless you collect vintage magazines like I do.
I mean, there's still modern magazines.
I know because we get somebody else's People magazines. And I don't know who it is, but they show up at our house all the time.
They do.
And every time I throw one of those away, I'm like, I bet in 20 years I'm going to wish I kept that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, like knowing.
I think it too.
But I'm like, well, I do still keep like the big ones, like when Betty White passed away and Matthew Perry and some of those, just because I feel like they're, you know, big
yeah.
moments. But
well, we have to leave the nostalgia of the mid-20s to somebody else.
Yeah, we do. But anyway, maybe, again, it's the same as checks. Like, maybe there are people who hold on to magazines and leave them on their coffee table. But
maybe
definitely not as many people that did it in the 90s.
Yeah. My dad has a ton of magazines.
Yeah.
Every month.
Does he keep them?
I think so.
Okay. I mean, I can't hate on that. Obviously, I wish I had kept all of mine.
Yeah.
Then I wouldn't be having to buy them off of eBay now. If you have old magazines and you want to get rid of them, you know who to talk to. Okay, this one was a big moment of very specific nostalgia for me. Patty is sitting on the couch in the evening, cross-stitching. No TV is on, which is just such a rare thing to see.
Yeah.
You know? But this reminds me so much of my mom.
Yeah.
Granted, a TV might be on when my mom was doing it. But my mom, I have pictures of my mom in the 80s and 90s sitting on the couch cross-stitching. Like, that was her evening activity.
What do you do with them when you're done?
I mean, she would frame them if they were really good and hang them around the house or maybe give them as gifts. I know she did a really cool one, like for my cousin when she had a baby. I think she did certain things like that. Wonder if she still has that. But yeah, I mean, that was just her hobby that she really enjoyed doing.
Did you ever cross stitch?
She would kind of teach me a little bit, but I didn't really.
Didn't take?
No. I've thought about it now, you know, going old school.
Yeah, could be interesting.
There are people that probably still do it.
But yeah.
I see a lot of people like knitting now still. But
my stepmom knits.
Yeah.
Very good knitter.
Yep. And then Sharon's makeup compact. She's reapplying her lipstick at her locker. And I feel like maybe there are some people who carry around a little compact with a mirror to check on their makeup. But I don't have that anymore.
Me either.
I've thought about it, though. I've thought, you either. I thought, like, that would be convenient. But I feel like now if I need to look at my face, I look at my phone.
So is that what, that's how you, like, reapply if you need to?
Yeah, if I'm not near a mirror.
Okay.
I mean, typically, like, if we're out, I would just go to the bathroom and, you know, put on some lipstick or whatever. But
this seems way more convenient.
Yeah. Yeah. It brought up memories, like seeing her. And it's like a little shell case that she opened. I loved it.
All right. Some signs of the time for me. Everybody watching the ball drop, which we still kind of do today.
We do.
But it's, you know, a specific feel where it's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Dick Clark.
Yeah.
And, you know, we would do that at home generally. I don't know that we were out and about ever. Maybe we were at the church. Worst case scenario. But I think in general, we were home.
Yeah, I was trying to think of, you know, what I did growing up as a kid. Well, now we pretty much will watch Andy and Anderson.
We do.
But we don't watch the whole thing. Like, we're normally doing other things. This is if we're home, which the last couple of years we have been home. We'd rather be home because New Year's Eve is just wild. But
it's its own thing.
Yeah. And that's how I could tell I'm getting older, because I just don't care about being out in it. Where before it was like, oh, what are we doing? It was like a big.
It's a big event.
Big event. And I'm not saying I'll never be excited to go out for New Year's again. But just as of late, I haven't been. But yeah, we normally just throw them on at the last like 10 minutes or something.
Yeah.
See how drunk they are. If CNN will let them drink. They finally let them drink again this year.
Yeah, they were going to have a revolt on their hands if they kept them sober again.
But one thing that I did love that we would do when I was little is we would tear up newspapers and put them all in big paper grocery bags.
Yeah.
And save them up for midnight. And then we would also have either apple cider or like grape juice or soda or something in wine glasses or champagne flutes. My mom would let us do.
Yeah.
And wear, you know, hats and then throw the makeshift confetti at midnight.
Yeah. I feel like we'd always have some like little gimmick thing growing up where, you know, it's like a little popper or something to celebrate. Like a noisemaker or something like that.
Yeah. Yep. It was good times.
It was good times. Next up on my list, Jordan smoking in the parking lot. Not as common as it used to be. It was very common back then. Everybody smoked.
I mean, before us, they smoked in the school.
In the school.
I actually found an article. Someone posted it and I sent it to myself. I'll have to share it soon, where it was like in the paper, like a debate about whether they should take smoking out of schools or not.
Isn't that so wild?
It is. But nowadays, I don't know. I mean, I doubt that there are kids smoking cigarettes in the parking lot. They're probably vaping in their cars.
Yes, they probably are. Hotboxing in those cars.
Yeah.
Which is not healthy. Okay, next on my list, Uncle Neil coming over to fix the stereo cables.
What?
Let's just say the Graham's got a little input-output confusion. I'm almost done.
Oh, thanks, Neil. That's great.
Want me to explain to you what the problem is?
No.
I love that Patty has no interest in understanding how it works.
Yeah, like both her and Graham were like, no.
What are you doing here?
Fix the stereo. You want to know what the problem was?
No.
But I love that they both have zero interest in figuring it out. Just call Neil.
I know. Well, it reminds me, though, because eventually I became the tech person at my house, which is hilarious because my dad was an IT guy and he always used to say, you know, he worked on these huge mainframes, and but he didn't understand like how to use a PC really. And I was the one that hooked up VCRs, like to dub one tape onto another.
Right.
Or to set the VCR to record something that day. I was the one that had to do it.
Wizardry.
That was an expert. But now, if you weren't here, I don't know. I don't know what I'd be calling our nieces and nephews, because I don't know how to work stuff now.
And finally, Ricky on the payphone in school.
Yeah.
I would doubt that any schools have payphones anymore, but they were so common. You'd have your bank of payphones, you know, two or three at our school, I think. Yep. And people would be on them all the time.
Yep. People would, like, just between classes, would go and, like, call their boyfriend or whatever. I remember calling my mom, like, in high school, because I needed her permission to leave early because I didn't feel well.
Right.
I mean, you could also, like, go to the office and have them call or call from there. But I remember calling her specifically, or calling to be like, can I go to so-and-so's after school or whatever?
I knew not to ask that question. I'd just get a no. You want to go have fun? No. You come home and you do the dishes. My mom listens, so that's just for you, Mom.
Hi, Mom. All right. And I didn't think we were going to have fashion moments from here, because I feel like at this point we've seen everything, because we've talked about how they recycle a lot of the outfits, which I love, because that's a very normal person thing.
Yeah.
You rewear your clothes. I only had one friend in high school who you very rarely ever saw wear the same outfit twice.
I had like three or four pairs of pants and probably 8 to 10 shirts. So I was bound to recycle.
Yeah. But surprisingly, we did get a few new clothing items in this episode. So Sharon has this baby pink cardigan with this pink and cream plaid skirt, and she's wearing a claw clip in her hair. There's a lot of vest work happening in this episode. Mr. Katimsky, Ricky, Danielle, Angela, the vests just keep on coming. Patty has this tight-fitting scoop neck shirt with these small horizontal lines that have like browns and mustards tucked into some high-waisted jeans. Like, this outfit actually felt a little younger than what she typically wears.
It felt judgy to me.
Judgy?
Yeah, that's how Patty is. She's very judgy.
I would think the double-breasted suit she was wearing before might feel a little more judgy.
Also judgy.
Sharon's pale yellow baby dollish dress with baby blue flowers all over it. She had a lot of pastels this episode, and a baby blue button-down shirt underneath it. And then Brian is wearing his vertical stripes button-down, which maybe we've seen before, but I didn't remember this combo. So it had like olive green and burgundy, and then he's wearing like a burgundy grandpa cardigan over it. And then a little later, Sharon is wearing some suspenders over a baby blue cardigan.
Sharon bringing it this episode.
Yeah, they gave Sharon a refresh.
Wardrobe refresh.
Yes. And that's it for that episode.
It is. We've only got three left. 17, 18, and 19. Next episode is episode 17, Betrayal.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
We all know.
Yes, we do.
We know what's a-coming.
Oh.
Good thing Jordan had a good episode here.
Yeah, it's all downhill from here.
And Rayanne had a good episode, too. Like, I really liked her interactions with Sharon.
Well, they're probably just in, like, really good moods because, you know.
That hasn't happened yet.
That we know of.
True. Well, it's been fun.
I enjoyed this episode thoroughly.
Nice. We hope you did, too. I got a lot of emails and messages begging for the My So-Called Life recaps to come back. I don't know what we're going to do when we are done with this one.
Yeah, we're going to lose like half the audience.
Oh, no, don't say that. Please stay with us.
Maybe we'll start back at episode one and we'll give it round two.
There's always something new to squeeze out of it. I never want to let it go.
No.
Jack, I'll never let go.
Until it gets kind of cold outside.
There was room.
There was definitely room. Rose.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.